Your 1% treaty is a piece of paper that says every signatory nation redirects 1% of its annual military budget to enable any patient to participate in pragmatic clinical trials for the most promising new treatments. The math. The problem. The world spends $2.72 trillion a year on military forces. The hack. If every nation reduces military spending by 1% at the same time, the balance of power remains identical. No country becomes more vulnerable. The prize, that 1%, a $27.2 billion a year river of cash, is redirected to fund clinical trials for every human disease. For comparison, $27.2 billion is about what Americans spend on Valentine's Day, flowers and chocolate over curing cancer, apparently, and roughly what humans spend on pet food every 3 months, apparently too much to ask for curing diseases. How it works. Funding creates a $27.2 billion per year revenue stream for the 1% Treaty Fund. Execution. A network of decentralized institutes of health subsidizes patient participation in a decentralized FDA. Clinical trials that are 44.1 times cheaper than the current model. Governance. Decentralized Autonomous Organization, DAO, governed by smart contracts and global population via wishocracy. Transparency. All research, data, and spending published on public ledger. This isn't a trade-off. It's like if everyone in your neighborhood spent their life savings on attack dogs and then called it a safe community because all the dogs are equally vicious. When every nation builds 1% fewer explosive devices at the same time, you get two good things. You become safer. The global, you might all die by accident temperature drops 1%, fewer chances of someone pressing the wrong button, which happens more than you'd think. You stop dying from stupid things. That $27.2 billion pays sick people to try treatments instead of waiting for death. Economists call this a Kaldor-Hicks improvement, which is their way of saying the winners win more than the losers lose, and we've decided that counts. In practice, some defense contractors lose 1% of their contracts. In exchange, they and everyone they love become less likely to die of cancer. Most people consider this a good trade. Defense contractors are still doing the math. The dead capital problem, or like why bombs are the worst investment since tulips. Here's something nobody tells you. When countries invest in military hardware, they're not buying assets, they're buying very expensive paperweights that occasionally explode. A bridge generates economic activity daily. Trucks move, people commute, value flows. Lasts 50 to 100 years, makes everyone richer. Pretty to look at. A missile sits in a hole doing nothing, toss $1.5 million per year just to keep it from rotting, can only destroy things, including itself, and makes everyone nervous. This is what economists call dead capital, resources trapped in a form that can't generate returns. It's like if you converted your house into a pile of TNT. Sure, it's impressive, but you can't live in it, rent it out, or do anything except eventually blow it up, at which point you have neither a house nor TNT. As President Eisenhower, a five-star general who knew about killing professionally, put it, every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. He literally ran the biggest military in history, and even he thought you were being ridiculous about this. A 1% treaty doesn't ask you to spend $27.2 billion curing diseases. It asks you to redirect $27.2 billion from the least useful 1% of your military budget to things that make you richer and less dead. It's not spending, it's stopping wasting. The blueprint for a saner world. Treaties are magic pieces of paper that countries sign when they want to pretend they'll behave. Sometimes they work. You haven't had World War III yet. Sometimes they don't. You've had about 200 other wars, but they're the only tool you have for getting countries to do anything together besides kill each other. What each country pays. Every signatory nation contributes exactly 1% of their military budget to the 1% treaty fund. USA, $8.86 billion, won't even notice. They've failed to account for over $2.46 trillion. China, $2.96 billion, what they spend on military parades. India, $835 million, one aircraft carrier's wine budget. Russia, $1.09 billion, Putin's shirt budget. Saudi Arabia, $754 million, one prince's yacht. UK, $686 million. France, $563 million, military cheese allocation, and so on. Why this is actually about national security? No, really. Here's what actually threatens nations today. Real threats that actually kill people. Pandemics. COVID killed more Americans than World War II, Korea, and Vietnam combined. Cancer kills 10 million globally per year. Heart disease, 18 million annual deaths. Dementia destroying the minds of every nation's elderly, and sometimes their leaders. Climate disasters making entire regions uninhabitable. Mental health crisis. More people kill themselves than die in wars. Overfunded threats that countries spend trillions on. Other countries attacking. It happens. It's real. Ask Ukraine. But disease kills 225 times more people every year, and you're funding them in the opposite ratio. A 1% treaty addresses the real threats. It doesn't weaken your ability to handle the conventional ones. You keep 99% of your weapons. If 99% of your military can't handle the job, the last 1% wasn't going to save you. The rebranding campaign, from weakness to strategic genius. Politicians hate looking weak. It's their biggest fear, right after having to use their own healthcare system. So you don't frame this as reducing military spending. You frame it as the Strategic Health Defense Initiative. Old frame, we're cutting defense by 1%, political suicide. New frame, we're building a biodefense shield against the real threats, political genius. The talking points that make hawks sound like doves. For conservatives, this is the ultimate America First policy. We're protecting American lives from the Chinese virus and any future biological threats. It's the Strategic Defense Initiative for the 21st century. For liberals, we're redirecting the tools of war to the cause of healing. This is how we build a more just and equitable world. For nationalists, our nation grows stronger when our people stop dying of diseases we can prevent. A healthy population is a powerful population. For economists, the ROI on the $1 billion campaign to pass it is 84.8 million to 1. On paper, that beats every public health intervention on record. For conspiracy theorists, Big Pharma hates this one weird trick that makes medicine basically free. For everyone, your mom has cancer. This might cure it. Sign here. The money flow, where $27.2 billion actually goes. Once nations sign the treaty and money starts flowing, here's what happens. The 1% treaty fund. Input, $27.2 billion annually from military budgets worldwide. Distribution. The $27.2 billion flows into the 1% treaty fund, an 80-10-10 automatic split before any funds reach discretionary spending. 80% of the fund, totaling $21.8 billion, is allocated to pragmatic clinical trials for patient subsidies, R&D, and pandemic prep. 10%, or $2.72 billion, is allocated to Victory Incentive Alignment Bond returns for perpetual investor payments. 10%, or $2.72 billion, is allocated to Incentive Alignment Bond political incentives for rewards for supporting legislators. The 80% allocated to pragmatic clinical trials is then distributed by the actual people of Earth via wishocracy, not by a committee of 12 people in a conference room who haven't had a new idea since 1987. While allocations are dynamic, initial priorities determined by the crowd are projected to focus on patient subsidies, creating a market for clinical trials, research and development, funding for breakthrough platform technologies, and pandemic preparedness, a global insurance policy against the next COVID. The exact percentages will shift in real time based on humanity's collective will. Governance. Governance is handled by wishocracy, a system of direct digital democracy detailed in the How to Replace Congress with an App chapter. In short, Every human gets direct say on funding priorities. Yes, even Florida, man. We'll risk it. Year one projected outcomes.
Right now, only 1.90 million participate in drug trials annually out of 2.40 billion people with chronic disease. A 1% treaty changes this. Current system. Pivotal trials cost $41,000. 1.08 billion people are willing to participate but are turned away. It takes 14 years from discovery to patient. With a 1% treaty plus a decentralized FDA, there is $60 billion existing plus $27.2 billion from the treaty. Pragmatic trials cost $929, 44.1 times cheaper. There are 23.4 million participants per year, a 12.3 times capacity increase. The incentive structure. The military-industrial complex will love this. Why? Because they get to keep 99% of their budget, still plenty for bombs, pivot 1% to biotech, higher profit margins, look like heroes, rare for arms dealers, invest in the fund, victory incentive alignment bonds pay 272% annually, not die of cancer, even arms dealers get cancer. Lockheed Martin presents the F-35 Cancer Killer. Boeing, proud sponsor of Not Dying of Alzheimer's. Raytheon Technologies, now with 1% less death. They keep their contracts, they keep their profits, they just point 1% of their death machines at actual death. This isn't just about saving lives, it's about potentially creating the biggest growth industry of the century, the business of not dying. What happens if this actually works? The endgame, reorienting global priorities. A 1% treaty isn't the goal, it's the proof of concept. I've watched roughly 10,000 civilizations reach this exact fork in the road. The ones still around all started with something like 1%, and the ones that didn't are geological features now. Once your species gets a taste of spending money on things that help instead of things that explode, you'll want more. You're not appealing to better angels, you're making peace more profitable than war. Turns out, humans will do anything if you pay them enough, including surviving. The ratchet effect, how to boil a frog. The frog is the war machine. Once a 1% treaty is signed and the first cures for untreatable diseases start rolling out, the system becomes more valuable. Every 5 to 10 years, you hold another global vote. Hey, that worked out great. Grandma's dementia is manageable now. You stopped that pandemic before it started. Want to try another 0.5%? More cures lead to more popular support, which leads to more votes for more funding, which leads to more cures. It's a self-reinforcing flywheel for peace. The end game? Countries bragging about their cancer survival rates instead of their missile counts. For quantitative projections of health and economic impacts, see impact.warondisease.org. Avoiding treaty pitfalls. Treaties fail in predictable ways. I know because I've cataloged every failed treaty on every planet I've consulted for, and they all fail for the same 5 boring reasons. Here's how this one avoids the common killers. Reservation games. Countries love to sign treaties, then add exceptions that gut them. It's like joining a gym, but reserving the right to never go. Solution? No reservations permitted. All or nothing. Take it or leave it. Ratification delays. Sign with fanfare, take a photo, then let it die in committee forever. Your species calls this diplomacy. Solution: provisional application. Takes effect on signature. Ratification just formalizes what already started. Creative accounting. Reclassifying military spending as peacekeeping or homeland security to dodge obligations. Solution: incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, make creative accounting self-defeating. Politicians who benefit from treaty compliance have personal financial incentive to ensure their nation's full 1% contribution flows through. Reclassifying military spending to dodge obligations reduces IAB returns for that nation's own legislators, the same people who control budget classifications. Parliamentary obstacles. Executive signs, legislature refuses to implement. Solution. The treaty obligates the percentage Congress implements via the Annual National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, after Medellin versus Texas, 2008, the U.S. Supreme Court made clear that not all treaties are self-executing, and a treaty directing budget appropriations would collide with Congress's power of the purse. So the treaty doesn't try to bypass Congress. It creates a binding international obligation that Congress fulfills through its normal appropriations process, the same way NATO's spending commitments work. The IAB mechanism ensures legislators have a personal financial incentive to include the 1% line item every year. In similar signatory nations, similar provisions route implementation through existing budget processes. Summary. A 1% treaty is a piece of paper that says, let's spend 1% less on killing and 1% more on not dying. That's it. That's the whole thing. It doesn't end war. It doesn't destroy the military. It doesn't create world peace. It just moves the first 1% of your murder budget to your survival budget. If you can't agree on that, if you can't agree that spending one penny less on death and one penny more on life is a good idea, then you deserve whatever's coming. Addendum: the actual treaty text, first draft. The Treaty for the 1% Reallocation of Military Expenditures Towards Biomedical Research and Development for the Prevention of Human Suffering and Death, or the Let's Not Die Treaty for short. Whereas, humanity spends $2.72 trillion annually on methods of killing itself. Whereas, this seems somewhat counterproductive. Whereas, diseases kill more people than all wars combined, and don't even have the decency to be quick about it. Whereas, we have nuclear weapons sufficient to end civilization 13 times, but haven't cured Alzheimer's once. Whereas, this is embarrassing.
Now, therefore, the undersigned nations agree to stop being complete idiots about this as follows. Article 1. Each signatory shall redirect exactly 1% of its annual military budget to the 1% treaty fund for allocation to pragmatic clinical trials. Article 2. Transfers shall be automatic, immediate, and irrevocable. No, we'll get to it later. Article 3. Percentages may increase, but never decrease. This is a ratchet, not a yo-yo. Article 4. Compliance shall be verified by blockchain and AI. No creative accounting. Article 5. Non-compliant parties lose access to incentive alignment bonds, or IAB, benefits, and treaty fund advantages. Your opponents get what you forfeit. Article 6. Success metrics trigger mandatory percentage reviews. When it works, we do more. Article 7. Citizens have standing to enforce via domestic courts. You can sue your own government for non-compliance. Article 8. Withdrawal requires unanimous consent of all parties plus 10-year notice. Good luck with that. Article 9. This treaty supersedes all conflicting domestic law. Yes, even that law. Article 10. Entry into force upon signature by two states. You only need two countries brave enough to go first. In witness thereof, the undersigned being of sound mind and tired of watching their loved ones die of preventable diseases have executed this treaty. Signed this day, blank, in the year of our ongoing confusion. Nation name. We choose life. I guess. P.S. Yes, this includes space weapons. Nice try.